This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
It didn't seem significant at the time. You thought it was kind of cute. Your cat would perch on the toilet to get a drink of water. You thought your dog was playing you for a chump by getting you up in the middle of the night to be let out. Really, at 2 a.m, you just have to prowl the yard? But then your pet started looking off, began to lose weight and condition, maybe some vomiting or diarrhea. When you couldn't deny it any longer, you made a trip to your veterinarian. You hadn't been there for years because your pet seemed fine. The diagnosis came back kidney failure. What caused it? Was it the food? Can you cure it? How can you prevent it in your other pet? Dr. Brian McLaughlin is a senior technical services veterinarian for Veterquinone USA. We're going to discuss the insidious disease of kidney disease and how it can affect your dog or cat. So stay tuned. Short message.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up 2 tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the 3rd tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Brian, thanks for being with us. This is sadly a topic that I need to broach with my clients just way too often.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Cruz. I agree. It's something that we don't typically like to talk about, but we do have to talk about it, unfortunately.
Okay, so what is kidney disease? Clients, every time I tell them kidney disease, immediately they think kidney failure. Can you kind of give the spectrum of how kidneys could be affected?
Yeah. So when we talk about kidney disease, chronic kidney disease, it's really defined as kidney disease if it's been present for months to years. It doesn't mean that, you know, if they've had to have had it for 3, 4, 5 years for you to be able to call it chronic kidney disease. It can be definitely less than that. When we use the terms chronic renal disease, chronic renal failure, chronic renal insufficiency, it kind of, to me, encompasses under that whole chronic kidney disease umbrella. We can certainly say chronic kidney disease is the result of all of those, but they kind of refer to the same condition. So we do tend to jump to those. When we think of kidney disease, it's really more common as dogs and cats age. It's estimated that about, I would say, 5.2% of dogs, and these are from studies, and 10.8% of cats over the 7 years of age will develop what we call kidney disease. So it's really an important topic to understand, and really we have to go to what the kidneys do to really understand what chronic kidney disease is. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that the kidneys are completely failing at that point, but we tend to kind of put that under that umbrella. So the kidneys typically filter the blood. They process what we call waste and, you know, get rid of them in the urine. They tend to balance the water in the body, the salts and the different acids in the bodies, and they typically help maintain a red blood cell. So they do quite a bit. And when we say a pet has kidney disease, it typically, one of these things is going awry or these functions are going awry, and that's when we diagnose kidney disease. The big thing with kidney disease is that it really doesn't go detected until about, we have only about 33 to about 25% of the functioning kidney left. So that's something that's important that I'm sure we'll get to.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people to understand is when I tell them, yes, you know, you're cat, your dog is in kidney disease status. And I'll usually use what we call, I know you know it also, the iris, a scale. So right. 1 through 4. Typically I say 1 is something you're not really going to even see most of the time. You're not looking for it. It's just no change that you're going to see in your pet at all. And then 4 is don't buy a big bag of pet food because sadly they're not going to probably be around with us very much longer. But there are things right. that we can do to slow down this progression. So what are some of the things, you mentioned older age, and yes, as we get older, things start wearing out on us, kidneys being one of them, but what are some other causes of chronic kidney or renal disease, as it's the big fancy term, caused?
Yeah. So some of the causes, and really it's probably a culmination of a number of different disease processes rather than kidney disease being a specific disease on its own. Typically, and one that's not very common, I guess, is what we call a congenital disease. So something you're born with that the kidneys didn't form right in their mother, and so they're not going to perform well once that pet is born, whether it be a dog or a cat. Certainly with extended bacterial infections, those typically start in the what we call the urinary bladder or what we call a UTI. If they extend up into the kidneys, that can cause some significant damage. If not recognized or taken care of, there's certain diseases that can cause specific inflammation to the kidneys. So, you know, we don't expect there to be inflammation in the kidneys. And when you hear inflammation, something's going on in that kidney that's not correct. So there's certain things that can cause that. Cancer, always, that we don't really ever want to talk about that, but we have to, can be certainly one that is somewhat of a common cause there. There's certain viral infections that can cause chronic kidney disease, and those are probably more specific to cats, and you probably see those periodically, but feline leukemia virus, FIP, is another one that can cause that. If we have stones in there that are moving around in the kidneys, those are certainly things that can cause that. One thing that I do want to say, though, I feel like, and Dr. Cruz, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times we get to see these cats and we never really find out what was the underlying cause of the kidney disease that is going on there. And we tend to kind of treat what we see as far as the clinical signs.
You're absolutely right. And it can be so frustrating because people always want to know, and I want to know what caused it. One of the things when people come in and I'm seeing a pet and it has bad dental disease, for instance, I will always tell them that it's not just stinky breath that your pet has. And it's not one that, oh yeah, you know, and when I was a kid growing up, you know, dogs never had their teeth clean. You're just trying to make money. It's like, well, we're learning more about human health and veterinary health. And one of the things that we do know is that bad teeth can be a source of pain and infection for the entire body, and that gum particularly is a boundary from the mouth to the rest of the system. And bacteria is supposed to go from the mouth to the bum, but when those teeth are so infected, the bacteria, studies have shown, likes to go to the liver, the kidneys, the joints, and the heart muscle. And if they have problems down the line, I'll never be able to say specifically, you know those teeth that you never had cleaned? Well, that's the source of it. But I really try to convince them, get those teeth clean. We just don't want to have problems. Dr. Brian, what could be some of the signs of chronic kidney disease? You know, I mentioned, you know, a cat that typically cats being desert in origin don't seem to drink a lot of water. They get a lot of water from their diet, especially if it's going to be canned food. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, the cat's in the sink all the time whenever you turn on the water, or it's going in the shower and lapping up the water when you get out, or it's perched on the toilet seat. What are some of the other signs besides drinking more water?
Yeah, and we already went over the, you know, what the kidneys do. So again, there can be a multitude of signs that we see, and certainly the excessive drinking is one of them, and urination as well. Some of these signs may be very subtle. Some of them may be extremely progressive, so they get worse very, very quickly. But some of the other things that we talk about, typically vomiting and or diarrhea would be some clinical signs that we see. Lack of appetite, a weight loss, whether it be a gradual weight loss or pretty significant weight loss in a short period of time, just them not acting like themselves. So just a general kind of what we like to say, like, ain't doing right, and you probably use that term periodically.
Oh, yes. But,
the general depression there that they're just not acting right. And we're
just off.
You know, most of us are fairly, conscious of the way our pets are, and you're going to notice that fairly quickly. Sometimes with some severe disease, you can, if you lift up the lip and the gums seem a little pale, you could sometimes see that. And then just overall weakness, I feel like, is one. Some of the less common, I guess, clinical signs that we would see, which are somewhat difficult, but and it's more in severe disease, would be that they may be blind at some point. We can talk about high blood pressure eventually.
Definitely.
But that would be a cause of that. Yep. You know, and sometimes we can see, maybe some ulcers in the mouth, or maybe we're getting some bleeding from the gastrointestinal tract. But those are some more severe signs in some of those later stages, as you mentioned.
And it is one of the most insidious diseases because it comes on so gradually. I know that's one of the things why I'm always telling clients, especially when a pet is 7 years of age or older, start getting baselines. When it comes back normal, it's kind of like when we get mature enough ourselves and have the joy of things like colonoscopies and PSAs, etc. When it comes back normal, we don't say, oh, dang, I spent all this money. We do the happy dance going, woohoo, did it one more time, no issues. So when I have my clients do blood work and it comes back normal, it's like, why did I spend the money? I said, well, it's a baseline. And we're looking for trends. And that's one of the most important things, I think, for kidney disease. Granted that a pet or a person needs to lose over about 75% of their total kidney function before things like BUN, blood urea nitrogen, starts to go up. But thankfully now having a test called SDMA is really making a major difference. Could you touch a little bit on testing?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the SDMA because that's a newer one that I feel like is helping us diagnose a bit earlier. But typically, before the SDMA, a diagnosis of what we call chronic kidney disease was usually made based on non-specific clinical signs, so it would kind of lead us towards that. And then the physical exam, which we can't throw that out, that's certainly very important. And then blood and urine tests. So those blood and urine tests probably are the number one thing that we're looking at when we diagnose kidney disease and or whether we stage, as you mentioned earlier, with the iris staging. When we look at that, the blood urea nitrogen, which you mentioned, and the creatinine are historically the two ones that we look at on the blood work. And, you know, for our time's sake here, we're not going to go into exactly what those are, but those are some of the wastes that are eliminated by the body. And if they're elevated, it means the kidneys aren't getting rid of those things. So that's a way that we can look at that. Sometimes we can get some increased phosphorus in our blood work. A lot of times we get urine that what we call dilute urine, but urine that is very clear, it's not concentrated with a color, and you know, to an extent some of that's normal, but on the other end of that it's not normal. Sometimes we see some bacteria or protein in the urine. So those are some of the typical things that we look at. One final thing would be looking at the red blood cells. And in severe disease, you heard me say earlier that the gums can be pale. The kidneys are involved with helping to produce red blood cells and releasing certain hormones to produce red blood cells. And when they're not doing that, we can sometimes be anemic, so that would indicate the pale gums. The last one that you mentioned was the SDMA, so the symmetric dimethyl arginine test. We don't have to say that again, just you.
I'm impressed.
SDMA.
I was just doing SDMA.
But SDMA has certainly changed the way that we diagnose, to me, or when I say a way that we diagnose, is that with the SDMA test, you mentioned that there has to be about 75% loss of the functioning kidney to see it on regular blood work. SDMA, the numbers that IDEX talks about are at least about 25 to 40% of the loss. So the key thing with that is if we can catch it earlier, we can start doing more earlier on and let these or give these pets, cats and dogs, a better life and a more comfortable life, and maybe even slow the progression of kidney disease that they have.
Great. I'm speaking right now with Dr. Brian McLaughlin. We are chatting about chronic kidney disease. He's with the company Betterquinone. We're going to be right back after this short break and talk about things that we can do to try to treat and slow down this disease. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Oh. designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. Designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in. And we'll see you now.
Dr. Brian, before the break, you were talking about phosphorus and protein. And I know so many of my clients can, so my pet has kidney disease. The best way to treat it is just to put it on a really, really low protein diet. There's been a lot of research that's gone into it, and diet can make a major difference. And oftentimes people want to make their own food, or they're just going to go to a senior food and think that's going to be the trick. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I would say that the first thing when I would diagnose a chronic kidney disease patient, I would be first thing that I would reach for once we stabilize that patient would be to reach for a diet. And you're right, kidney diets historically have had a lot less protein, and there has been a lot of debate on whether we increase that protein or decrease that protein. And the reason why is you know, if we have less protein, we're going to typically, the protein supplies the muscles, and the muscles need that protein to build themselves up. We give less protein, they're going to have less muscle mass, they're going to be thinner, they're not going to have as much energy. So that's kind of some of the thought with that. I don't know that the answer is truly out there yet, but what I would recommend is a kidney diet, which are made by Hills, Royal Canin, Purina, some of the good veterinary food companies out there that definitely have less protein, but a high quality protein. We want a higher quality protein that they're able to use and to help out their muscles and to help out their bodies. Plus, it creates less waste for those kidneys to eliminate.
One of the ways that I always describe it with my clients is, you know, if you have a new car, you can probably put any kind of gas in it. But when you have that older car, you need the super unleaded. So these renal diets, kidney diets with the type of protein that it has, I totally agree, the increased quality. It's like putting super unleaded into your pet so it's no longer pingy. Going, oh, okay, now I kind of get that idea. But it's also the phosphorus that's in that food too, and the sodium, that can make a major difference, can't it?
For sure. And the phosphorus, all of these. So just to backtrack a few minutes, and I liked your analogy there. I'll have to use that in the future. So thank you for that. Everything that we take in by mouth in our pets is contributing to our phosphorus levels. And so those phosphorus levels definitely are something to pay attention to. And over the years, those phosphorus levels being increased, the kidneys have to work harder to eliminate that phosphorus. There's a lot of different mechanisms going on with the calcium and phosphorus. And the bottom line is higher phosphorus levels with chronic kidney disease basically makes them progress or further damages the kidneys. And we need to kind of stop that process at some point. So feeding a low phosphorus diet, a lower phosphorus diet, we're not going to eliminate phosphorus altogether, but feeding a lower phosphorus diet will help us to not have those higher phosphorus levels, not put so much strain on the body to eliminate that phosphorus and cause further damage to the kidneys. And one thing that I will say that's one thing that studies have shown with diets is using a phosphorus-restricted diet, which the kidney diets are phosphorus-restricted. There's been some studies that show that the cats that are on a phosphorus-restricted diet can live about 2.5 times longer than those cats that are not on a phosphorus-restricted diet. So to me, that's extremely important.
And it's tough sometimes because cats in particular are having such picky appetites, trying to find that food. And thankfully right now, there are several companies that do make these kidney diets. Some are pâtés and some are stews, and there's hard food, and there's all these various things that you can do. So sometimes it takes a lot of trial and error to find that food, but Most of the time, you can do it. And I think it can, as you said, really make a major difference. And clients really need to be aware to avoid those high protein foods. And that can be meat that we have on the table going, oh, but it always like that, you know, bit of chicken or that fish that we had for dinner, or jerky treats or cheese or rawhide or even pig ears for dogs. All those things are very high protein and can really put an extra strain. The pet may like it, but it's not always the best thing for them. You talked a little bit about, as we're going into this, hypertension and going blind for kitties in particular. And I think that's something that's so important for them to know, that that high salt, like in pig ears too, high salt can really be an issue. When we have a pet that has kidney disease, so we'll start by using this renal diet, the kidney diet, if they'll eat it. Sometimes we'll show people how to give fluids under the skin. So it's kind of a poor man's form of dialysis, and it's not impossible to do. But then it gets down to various types of supplements, nutraceuticals that can be given. And I know your company, Vetoquinone, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah, Vetoquinol. Yep.
Vetoquinol. It's close.
Yeah,
okay.
You're okay. Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right.
You produce some products that are really very, very different, that are just an adjunct to help in our toolbox of trying to slow this kidney disease. So you were talking a little bit about phosphorus, that was really important. What's the product that you have that helps for phosphorus?
Yeah, so we talked a bit about those higher phosphate levels with kidney disease, and certainly the diet helps out with that. But it comes to a point where there's only so much the diet can do when it comes to phosphorus, and there's certain levels that the IRIS, or what that you mentioned earlier, where we stage patients that are recommended for phosphorus. So when they get above a certain level in your veterinarian, you can certainly ask your veterinarian what those levels are. There's a time that you need what we call a phosphate binder, and our Pacotin product is a phosphate binder. It is a chitosan-based phosphate binder, so an extract of crab and shrimp shells, and that's the main ingredient there. And what that phosphate binder does is, when we have low phosphate in the food already, there's still some phosphorus in there, it will bind up the phosphorus that's in the food and not allow it to be absorbed. And it's pretty efficient at doing that and does a very good job. So again, lowering those phosphorus levels will help that patient live longer or live a more comfortable life for sure.
And one of the signs you were talking about that cats or dogs are experiencing this kidney disease is just sometimes losing weight, losing condition. It's just, they don't have an appetite. People aren't aware of maybe anything else, but just bring it in going, it just doesn't want to eat. It used to have a good appetite. And we'll find oftentimes doing blood work that the potassium seems to be a little on the low side. So I know you have a product and trying to find a yummy tasting potassium supplement going, well, I can give it bananas. It's like, it wasn't going to eat a banana when it was feeling good. It's definitely not going to eat a banana now. So what is your product?
Yeah, for sure. So for low potassium, certainly a common thing that can occur with chronic kidney disease, we have a product called Renal K Plus, and it's essentially what it is. It is a potassium supplement, and typically, if they're very severe potassium depleted, you can give IV potassium while they're getting IV fluids for those patients that aren't eating or drinking. But for those that do have somewhat of an appetite, a low potassium can certainly make them feel really poor and have a lot of weakness. So supplementing that potassium is certainly something we want to do. And again, those levels will be determined by your veterinarian. The nice thing about Renal K is that we have it in two very palatable forms. We have a gel and a powder, and the gel essentially tastes like pancake syrup. I never knew pets like that, but they do, and it does taste like that.
Have you tasted it?
I have tasted it, actually.
I taste a lot of things, too.
Pancakes, but yeah, I taste almost everything we have, but our powder is certainly something that it is a very strong fish flavor. So whatever they tend to like, we tend to have it. But the nice thing about them is they're very easy to give, and as compared to some of the other potassium supplements out there that are usually a tablet or a capsule, or something like that. These are pretty easy for owners to give. And to me, backtrack a bit with the Epacotin, because I didn't really talk about the palatability with that. It is a fine powder that's sprinkled over the food, and that's key for binding phosphorus, is to sprinkle that over the food. So I failed to mention that earlier, but it certainly makes it easier for owners, and you're not having to pill them or anything like that.
And there are some times when cats and dogs are progressing in their disease and you've done everything under the sun, you're trying this and that, and it's just trying to keep their quality of life as good as possible. I find a product that I've used of yours for quite a while now and trying to use it sooner than later is one called Azadil. And Azadil, I tell people, and you can explain it also, is, yep, again, trying to do a dialysis as such, but you're using the gut to bind these toxins. When I look at lab results, I'm not seeing a major change in the numbers, but the pet feels a lot better. So please explain what Azadil is.
Yeah, just as you said, in the term that, you know, when we talk about human patients, we talk about dialysis. This would be termed what we call enteric dialysis with Azadil. So Azadil is made up of three beneficial bacteria. You could possibly call them a probiotic, but they are proprietary to Azadil. And those three bacteria tend to, what they do in the gut is they bind up or use toxins in the gut and use them as almost like a food source. So those toxins aren't allowed to be reabsorbed, and Azadil, those bacteria, use those toxin as a food source, and then they're eliminated in the waste of the patient. So essentially, we're trying to lower some of those toxins that are built up, which we talked about earlier when we said BUN and creatinine. We're trying to lower those toxins. And you said the right thing. I mean, you may not see some significant drops in those values on the blood work, but what we should be seeing is the patient is generally feeling better. And to me, that is one of the most important things that we can do for them, is to make them feel better. And certainly there's other things that we can add in to help with that, but Azadil certainly is one of those that is there to do that for them.
So, Dr. McLaughlin, somebody's, you know, listening to this going, all right, but what can I do to prevent kidney disease in my pet? Is there anything?
You know, there's really no way to prevent kidney disease from happening. But the one thing that I would do, and you kind of touched on it earlier, Dr. Cruz, would be to have frequent veterinary checks, especially in those senior dogs and cats. And I'm not going to discount getting yearly blood work for those patients that aren't senior. And when we say senior, I typically think above 7 years of age, and that can be debated, but 7 years of age. There are many parameters on senior pet testing that can tip your veterinarian off to chronic kidney disease early, and we talked about one of those, which was the SDMA, to find that disease earlier. And typically when you have an elevated SDMA early on with no other indications on blood work, you're not going to see a whole lot of clinical signs with these patients, but you know something is going on, and you can start to address that by maybe avoiding drugs that are filtered by the kidney, maybe starting them on a diet that's maybe a little bit lower in protein. There's a lot of things that can be done to monitor these things and to prevent the progression of the kidney disease from occurring faster than it would if you didn't know that.
Is it reversible? You know, they say, okay, you know, I've now seen that there's this disease. If my pet has liver disease, oftentimes you can put them on medication and the liver disease goes away and the liver goes back to being healthy. Will that happen with kidneys?
Short answer is no. Do I wish that we could reverse it? Yes, I wish we could, but we can't at this point. So we're born with all the functional units of our kidneys, which are called nephrons, when we're born. So once we lose them, they're gone. So the nice thing about the kidneys, though, is that those nephrons or those functional units have a very good propensity to overwork themselves and to do a lot more work than what they would normally, or any other cells would normally be able to do, hence why the kidneys can compromise for a long period of time with disease and not see clinical signs. So no, it's not reversible. I wish we could, but I think that, again, the most important thing is to have frequent checks with your veterinarian, whether it be yearly blood work or even more frequently than that to make sure. And again, you're right. I mean, it comes back clean. Well, why are we doing that? I think that's the best thing ever is to see it come back clean. But if we don't do that, then we'll never know. And then we can get ourselves into some trouble.
And again, I think that's one of the reasons I like doing the SDMA, because I'll explain to clients that, all right, Brian, your twin brother needs a kidney transplant, so fine, you give him one of yours. You're now down 50% of what you started off life with. But that 50% is doing just fine and everything is absolutely normal. You need to lose 50% more or 75% total before we even start seeing those numbers going up. So if you can catch it earlier with doing things like SDMA, if you can do that yearly blood work looking for trends, boy, you're so ahead of the game. Dr. McLaughlin, Vetoquinol, what are some other sources that people can go to learn more about chronic kidney disease?
Yeah, the first source I would go to would be your veterinarian. The technicians are a wealth of knowledge, but certainly the IRIS website, which is www.iris-kidney.com, is a great source of information, maybe more information than you ever want to know about kidney disease, but that group is dedicated to kidney disease and dogs and cats. Another one, myhappypets.com, is a website that we have that has some information not only on kidney disease, but also osteoarthritis, behavior, and whatnot, and that's a website that Vetoquinol does. So those are a couple areas that I would encourage you to go to if you have more questions about kidney disease.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I've had the joy of speaking with Dr. Brian McLaughlin, Senior Technical Services Veterinarian for Vetoquinol, got it, USA. I'll have to keep practicing that one. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Cruz. I appreciate you having me on.
And if you have any questions, drop us a line. Otherwise, tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.